Good morning. It's good to be with you today. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll be mainly in verses 7 through 8. So if you just want to open your Bible and lay it there in your lap, and encourage you to follow along. It is good to be with you today, and appreciate your hospitality. And my wife and girls are with me, and I hope we have an opportunity to get to know one another a little bit better. There's a story told of a janitor. He's a church janitor, and he cleaned the big building, and a church building. And it wasn't uncommon that sometimes children would sneak into the building and would do things they weren't supposed to be doing and places where they weren't supposed to be. And he had been there for a long time, and it got to the point where they would just hear the jingle of his cheap keys. And they'd straighten up, or they'd leave, or they would get to be going where they needed to be. When I heard that story, I couldn't help but think of what the Bible, God's Word, is a lot like those keys. Jingling, getting our attention to help us to prepare or get where we need to be. And the Bible is God's warning to us. It's reminding us that we need to straighten up, maybe, and pay attention. And one of those passages come to mind is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Notice what Paul has to say here. These are his final words before he is martyred for his faith. And he is writing to young Timothy, and he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Well, when we think about this passage, the Bible often refers to Jesus' return in a number of places. Jesus even makes mention of his return. The Apostle Paul uses the expression, "on that day," or sometimes "the day," or "that day." It's mentioned at least eight times, or referred to at least eight times in 2 Timothy, as well as many other times in the New Testament. And so Paul is writing these words, telling Timothy and telling us he's prepared. And it's an example for Timothy and us. We must get prepared as well. And so he reminds us that we need to fight. We need to run. And we need to keep the faith. So let's look at the first point here. First of all, we see that we are to fight the good fight. You know, throughout the scriptures, it talks about that the Christian running the race or fighting the fight. It's carrying the idea that this journey that we're in as Christians is like a fight. And we see over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and following, it reminds us that there is a spiritual battle going on. That what we are involved with is something greater than us. And that when we enter into the Christian journey, the Christian race, the Christian fight, it is a fight. Christianity is not a jellyfish religion. You think about what a jellyfish is. It just kind of floats along in the sea and just bounces here and there. And yet Christianity is not that. It is something that takes effort. It takes energy. It takes being involved. And it's a fight. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul reminds us a spiritual battle. You know, oftentimes we get distracted in this world because of what someone says or what someone did. And the Apostle Paul reminds us, hey, our battle's not necessarily with them. That we are in a spiritual battle, and that the real culprit to what's going on is Satan and his evil forces. And so we need to stand strong and be able to resist him and guard against his schemes. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us to put on the full armor of God. That it's something that we need to use to protect us and help fend off the evils of Satan. Over in James chapter 4 and verse 7, it puts it this way. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We need to remember we are in a battle. And Paul is reminding us we got to fight the good fight. Paul did. And Paul is reminding us that we can do that too. That he was able to fight. and stay in the fight. We can too. Paul had a great example of seeing he was a great example of being a Christian soldier. You think about all the things that he fought against. From the beginning of his conversion, we see in Acts chapter 9, there were those Jews who wanted to put him to death, and he had to escape from Damascus. We see that as he would travel from city to city during his missionary journeys, there were those who opposed him, and he'd flee from one city to the next. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we see that he talks about how there was many trials and just not persecution, but sometimes he went without food and clothing and was in prison and was stoned, and the list goes on and on. But he fought the fight. He continued to fight. And so when we think about Paul, we're reminded that he is a good example of us to keep fighting the fight. Now, there's some things we need to remember. First of all, we need to remember that Satan is out there. He wants to destroy us. He's not some dude in a red suit with pointy horns and a pitchfork and runs around in a costume joking or teasing us. He is a raging, roaring lion, Peter tells us. He wants us dead. He wants us destroyed. And so we need to remember that we're fighting against him. James, again, reminds us to resist him. Don't give in to him. Draw close to God. We also have to realize, in Romans chapter 7, it reminds us that sometimes we're our own worst enemies. I've often said, I don't need Satan's help. I can get in enough trouble myself. Romans tells us sometimes we make dumb decisions. Sometimes we do harm to ourselves. And so we need to be reminded and to resist those times of doing dumb things and be on guard. And we need to remember that this enemy is unseen, unpredictable in Satan, but God equips us. God gives us the strength. We see the full armor of God. We're to put on that armor. And notice when you think about that armor in Ephesians 6, we often associate it with a soldier, a Roman soldier, and there's some truth to that. But if you do a little closer study of that armor, it goes back to the book of Isaiah, and it's predicting the Messiah. And so what really is going on there is just not a Roman soldier, but the soldier of Christ. That Christ is a warrior. And if we are to defeat the wiles and the schemes of Satan, we must look like Christ. And the way we act, the way we talk, the way we behave, and that's part of the fight. Paul reminds us, another way we do this is we remember. And he's reminding Timothy, and throughout 1 and 2 Timothy, he reminds him of the good confession. Do you remember your good confession? Do you remember when you made that confession of Christ, that he is the Son of God, died and was buried and resurrected? Do you remember that? Do you remember when you repented and turned from your sins and began a new life in baptism? You remember your baptism? You remember why you were buried with Christ? Do you remember that commitment you made? And Paul, in essence, is saying to Timothy, remember that. Hold on to that. I'm reminded that sometimes that couples, married couples, will get to a point in their life where they'll say, well, I don't love. They don't love each other anymore. They've fallen out of love. And we could talk a lot about that, but, you know, oftentimes it's not that we fall off out of love, it's we stop doing the loving things that got us to that point to begin with. If those here are married, you remember what you did to win your love's affections? You wrote them notes, you spent time with them, you talked hours and hours on the phone or, I guess, email or whatever the case may be. You remember that time? And in a sense, when we think about our marital relationship, we stop doing those loving things. And that's what we need to get back doing in our relationship with one another. But also, you think about when we became a Christian. Remember some of the joys we had in that beginning, some of that newness, that freshness. And Paul is basically telling Timothy, remember that. That will keep you going. That will keep you in the fight and continuing on. And so Paul reminds us, stay faithful. Keep fighting. Let's fight the good fight. But number two, he tells us to run. Notice again in 2 Timothy, he tells us to run. I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. He is making a reference to running. You know, the Christian life is sometimes referred to as a walk or a run. And the idea is that we are to nurture our Christian life daily with God. And so when we see this here, that it carries the idea that at every moment in our life, we focus on God. Now, that doesn't mean we necessarily sit in some corner or away place and just meditate, but it means that we take what we learn about God and obey it and apply it to our everyday life. When I hear also and think about what Paul is saying here in running the race, have you ever ran or do you ever have seen a runner? And they want to win that prize. They want to finish that race. And you can just imagine every ounce of energy, muscle, sweat, blood, everything is tense and focused to win that race. That's a lot like what I envision of the Christian race, as Paul tells us here, that every ounce of our energy, our strength, is focused on winning that race. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, Paul uses that analogy there as well. He talks about running the race, and you run to win. You don't enter the Christian race not expecting to win. We want to win, and that's what he is encouraging the Christians to run to win. And in order to do that, you got to put forth effort and energy and strength. Oftentimes in our lives, we begin the race. We start out. Jesus even tells us this in Matthew 13, that in the telling of the parable of the soils, that some start the race, but some don't finish. How many times have people started the race, but they didn't finish? Laura and I was talking about a week ago and talking about so many people, dear friends, they started the race, but they didn't finish. I'm sure you know somebody like that as well. The Bible reminds us we may not always all finish the race, but there is encouragement for us too. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 reminds us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and endurance. You know, one of the things we need to keep in mind is that others have ran this race. Others have run it. We're not the only ones. And they have won their race. Now it's time for us to win ours. And so the Hebrew writer reminds us, throw everything off. Don't let anything hinder you. Do whatever you can to put the effort, endurance, and energy in running the race. Paul says a very similar thing in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. He says, hold fast to the word of life, that the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Our running is not in vain. You know something, church? Christianity is going somewhere. It's going somewhere. A lot of things in this world cannot say that. Our TVs have been focused recently on race. But President, where's that going? I don't know. Well, at the most, whoever wins could go 8 years. Then what? Then what? Where does being president get you? What happens? Think about other things. Maybe I teach at Iowa Valley University, one of the things I do. And education is very important to me. Maybe it is to you. But think about this. Education itself, where's it going? You can get all the education degrees and all kinds of awards, but where is it going? Where's it going? You think about sports. There may be a lot of sports fans here. Where's it going? Win a World Series? Great. Where's it going? Where's that get you? Win a Super Bowl? Great. Where's it get you? Where's it going? Remember Peter in John chapter 6. The crowds had left Jesus, and Jesus is standing there, and he looks at his disciples and says, are you going to leave too? And Peter looks at him and says, where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life. See, Christianity is going somewhere. You can't say that about politics. You can't say that about your education. You can't say that about sports or any other thing in this world. Christianity is going somewhere. Are you in the race? Are you running the course? Paul said, I did. And I ran. And I've finished the course. I hope and pray that each one of us can look back at our life if we have that opportunity as Paul and look over that life and say, you know what? I fought and I ran. I did my best. There's a crown laid up for me. Will we run the race? But notice he goes on and says, keep the faith. Each one of these analogies he's using all is really talking about the same thing. Whether it's fighting the fight or running the race, he's telling us, keep on in Christianity. Keep in the faith. Keep being faithful. Keep being strong. Keep continuing on. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Keep on keeping on. In Robert Clinton's book, he has entitled a book by Seven Habits of Effective Church Leaders, and he suggests three marks of a Christian leader who finished well. And he says, at the end of their lifetime, they still have a close relationship with God, number one. Number two, they are still learners. And number three, they left behind a legacy and ultimate contribution. I think you could see that in the Apostle Paul's life. You think about the Apostle Paul, he finished the race and he still had a close relationship with God. 2 Timothy, the book, reminds us of that very point. That through from the beginning to the end, God is his focus. And he is encouraging Timothy and others to continue to keep that close relationship with God. But number two, you look at Paul, and he was still a learner. Over in 2 Timothy 4, verse 13, we see that even while he's in prison, he wanted his books, the parchments. I don't know about you, but it tells me he's still learning. There was something about Paul that still wanted to learn. He didn't have everything all together. He still wanted to learn. And then number three, he left a legacy. He left a legacy. As we think about his example, as we think about what he is revealing to us here, he left a legacy and it involved a spiritual legacy. He was training Timothy to pick up the gauntlet, we might say, to continue the race. What about us? What about to keep the faith? We need to, number one, we need to have a close relationship with God. That's part of what we're doing here. It's not just worshiping. It's spending time in prayer. It's reading the scriptures. And it's having that devotional time with God. It's obeying his word. It's putting him first. But we also see it's learning. There is a truth that we need to learn as Christians about what it is to be a Christian and what God would expect of us and learning. And that involves a Bible study and Bible reading and just spending time with other Christians and nurturing that faith. But also, here's something else we need to think about. Are we leaving a legacy? Who are you helping get to heaven? Who are you helping to train and teach? You know, oftentimes parents talk about or grandparents, leaving an inheritance for their kids. That's great. Usually talking about monetary things. But what about a spiritual inheritance? What are you leaving your children and grandchildren that will last for eternity? What type of legacy are you leaving them in the faith? Paul left a legacy. I don't know, and from all indications, Paul probably never left any monetary things to Timothy. Maybe his books, maybe. But what he left Timothy was far more important. He left a spiritual legacy. What are we leaving for our children, our grandchildren? Keep the faith. We stress this throughout, this is stressed throughout Scripture, because the Bible reminds us that not everyone will keep the faith. Revelation 2 and 10, John reminds us to stay faithful. Stay faithful to death. Why? Some won't. I'm told in a statistic that One out of ten preachers actually retire from preaching. One out of ten. If that is true, what does it say about our congregation, our members in the church? If one out of ten of our spiritual leaders are finishing the race, what does it say about those in the pew? Jesus says about one out of four. In Mark chapter 4, we see the parable of the soils, and he says one out of four will actually respond and produce a harvest. The Bible reminds us and encourages us, keep the faith. Why does it do it so much? Because not everyone will. Paul reminds us in Philippians 3 and verse 14, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Will we do the same? Will we press on? Is heaven our goal? Is that our focus? Will we fight the fight, run the race, and keep the faith? In closing, there's a story told. There's a story told of a husband and wife, and they died. They died on the same day. They go to heaven, and they're being showed around all the beautiful sights of heaven. And the first thing they see, the beautiful mansion there, and it's all lit up, gorgeous. And the husband looks at his wife and says, that's pretty. There's a lot of lights. Who pays the electric bill? The angel overheard him and said, it's paid for. And so they continued on their tour. And about that time, there's a beautiful, beautiful sea there, and there's a large boat, and the husband looked at his wife and said, who pays the gas for that boat? The angel heard and said, it's paid for. And this went on and on and on, every sight and every sound and every glorious thing. And the husband would say, who pays for that? And the angel would say, it's paid for. Finally, they would finish their tour and they're sitting down, the husband and wife, and they're just enjoying and the scenery, and they're taking everything in, and the husband looks over at his wife and says, boy, honey, if you've never made me take all those vitamins, we'd have got here a lot sooner. Isn't heaven worth it all? As we see Paul talking about that glorious crown, that eternal home, every ounce of effort, every ounce of running that race and fighting that race and fighting the fight and keeping the faith was worth it. Every effort. There used to be an old preacher that preached to the congregation where I currently am now, and he would close his sermons by saying, let's go to heaven. Let's all go together. And you know, we can all go to heaven. We can all go together. Fighting the fight. We need to keep in the race, and we need to keep the faith. So I encourage you to continue on. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. It may be that you're here, and you're not a Christian. You've not even entered the race. And so this, ask Jesus as your Lord. Will he repent of your sins and turn your back on the evil of this world and focus on Christ? And will you be baptized for remission of your sins? We'd be glad to do that today. Or if you have any prayer concerns or requests, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.